Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. GLP-1s have become a popular weight loss drug. However, the P in GLP stands for peptides, which are gaining popularity as a muscle-building supplement. Videos of politicians and influencers working out and promoting their use of peptides and testosterone have been gaining traction. But how safe are they, and what should we know about them? Here to address what we should know about the use of these supplements is Dr. Ben Bring, a board-certified physician in family and sports medicine at Ohio Health. He's also the medical director for the Arnold Sports Festival. Welcome to All Sides, Ben.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So are peptides and testosterone the same thing?
Not necessarily. So peptides, we hear this term a lot, and I look back to my days as a biology major at Denison University, and we learned about all the different amino acids. So we have 20 different amino acids. When you start to put the amino acids together, that's what makes a peptide. And so our body actually creates peptides normally. So going back to the GLPs, I know you had talked about those earlier. That's called glucagon-like peptide. So our body actually normally secretes that out of our intestines. And with some of the newer medications that have come up, we've synthetically been able to put those peptides together, and they last longer. So the ones that we normally secrete only hang around for a little bit, whereas the new ones that we make, those can hang out much longer. Whereas testosterone, so our body, especially in men, I'll talk about men, for testosterone, it's naturally produced. So we have a thing in our brain called the hypothalamic pituitary axis. So how does our—
Say that three times fast.
HPA,
okay.
Yeah, I'll just say HPA.
Okay.
So it's the way that our brain communicates with other organs in our body. Mm-hmm. And so we naturally produce testosterone as we, you know, as we go through our growth spurts and as we go through puberty. But, you know, I know in men, especially over 40, our testosterone levels tend to drop as we get older. And so that's where testosterone replacements really come into the view here.
Mm, okay. Mm-hmm. So because of like the time period we're living in, we've become a more performative culture. Mm-hmm. There's this increased focus on masculinity in some sectors. How often are people now asking you more questions about testosterone and peptides both?
Yeah. You know, I take care of a lot of men over the age of 30, and this comes up every day. We, you know, as a, I'm 42 now, so I hopefully can relate to them. One thing I say is, you know, you're not going to feel like you did when you were 20. You know, as we go on after age 40, we lose about 1% of muscle mass every year. And so that's just a normal part of aging. But what I tell people is, especially nowadays, ways that we can reduce that muscle loss are the three things. I always talk about three things: making sure we're getting 7 hours of sleep at least every single night, cold, dark rooms, uninterrupted sleep. Very rare for that to happen. We live in an age of smartphones and TVs and World Cup. Everyone's staying up late for those World Cup games. And the other two things are good diet and exercise. As a society, we are under training pretty drastically. Most of the sports medicine societies recommend 150 minutes a week of exercise, and then eating mostly whole foods, things that aren't ultra processed, trying not to drink calories. So those are the biggest things I try to tell people to maintain your muscle mass. And then, honestly, the other thing I tell all my patients this, everybody should be lifting weights, regardless of, you know, unless there's a few contraindications, meaning you shouldn't do it, but everybody should be lifting weights, and that's going to help prevent that muscle loss, too.
Okay, but what about the people who want the quick fix, the magic the magic pill? Because that's why they're asking you about these, right?
Of course. So the American College of Physicians put out a consensus statement that we really only should be treating people that have true what we call hypogonadism, basically where they don't have morning erections, they don't have, or they have decreased sexual function as well. We can also do what's called a total testosterone level. We check this usually in the mornings between 8 and 10 a.m. The reason for that is that's when our testosterone levels are the highest, and that allows us to make sure we have an accurate diagnosis. Unfortunately, there's a lot of, I'll just say kind of like boutique medicine out there where we're over-treating men for testosterone. And what that can lead to is a lot of different complications. Sometimes even infertility can actually create gynecomastia or breast tissue in men. Can also have a couple of other metabolic side effects, although they've debunked some of those recently with a few studies. But the prostate's another organ that can be adversely affected too.
What do you think of these influencers that you see on social media? I mean, you know, they run the gamut. They're former athletes. I mean, in some cases, they're politicians. They are telling men, they're touting the use of peptides and saying it'll help you build muscle and be stronger. Are you concerned about this?
Yeah, and mostly because we don't know what we don't know. So this is where, as a physician, you know, everything that I do, I try to look at the evidence. We always try to practice evidence-based medicine. So it's really important to look at studies and trials. unfortunately, there's really no the best type of trial we want is a double-blinded, randomized controlled trial. So that means if you're the patient and I'm the doctor, neither one of us know what you're getting, but you know, behind the scenes, the scientists kind of know. And there's been no studies on some of these newer peptides. Now, I will say the GLPs have been extensively studied, especially in our patients that suffer from obesity, obstructive sleep apnea, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, the chronic diseases. Those have been extensively studied. But some of the newer ones, I'll throw out the BPC-157, that's been the one that gets mentioned. Or the Wolverine stack, is so to speak. It sounds really cool.
Is that its name? Oh, wow.
If you look up the Wolverine stack, that's what everyone talks about. Unfortunately, there are just no studies on that.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And GLP-1s are also FDA approved.
Correct.
Right? So peptides are not.
Correct.
If you're getting them, you're getting them kind of as supplements, which are not. They're not as regulated by the FDA, right?
Yes, correct. And that's where it can be a little bit dangerous because you don't know the source of what you're injecting into your body. Mm. And I tell my patients this all the time. You know, we rely heavily on the FDA to make sure that what we're giving patients is, exactly what you want it to be. And unfortunately, there's a lot of online stores now where you can just buy peptides. You can buy all kinds of things. And none of it is regulated. And if you look on some of the labels, it'll say for research purposes only or not for human consumption. And that kind of helps them get away with, some of the false claims that they're having. I always say this, I'm not anti-peptides, I think, but I am pro-science. Like we need a lot more scientific studies on this to prove some of the claims that they're throwing out there.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about what you should know about peptides and testosterone with Dr. Ben Bring, board-certified physician in family and sports medicine at Ohio Health, and he's also the medical director of the Arnold Sports Festival. So women have lower doses of testosterone. Mm-hmm. Levels drop as men age, which you just mentioned. But what's the difference between decreasing testosterone just due to aging naturally versus like actually having a medical condition? Because can't you have a medical condition of low testosterone?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where the lab testing can come in. And we also look at symptoms. Those are probably the two biggest things. The hardest thing as a doctor is to tell patients, when they come in and they are experiencing, fatigue or, decreased muscle mass, or, they're just saying, I don't have as much energy as I used to have. Those are not necessarily indications for treatment. And that's usually what I tell them. And I just pull up the guidelines and the recommendations because we want to try to stay away from treating symptoms only. And we want to make sure we're actually diagnosing and treating the underlying causes.
Mm. Do over-the-counter testosterone boosters, like the ones you can see promoted online by these retired athletes and stuff, I mean, do they work?
Long story short, no. I wish I could say, with supplements, a lot of these are unregulated by the FDA too. It was interesting. So I teach, my main job is teaching resident physicians. So we're always looking at studies and things, to try to make sure we're on top of our game when we talk to our patients. They've done studies on supplements. There was a large study done a few years ago that looked at 42 different companies, and they actually ran a PCR analysis on what they said was inside their medications. Only two of the companies had 100% of what they said was actually in there. And that's where it's hard because the supplement market is in the tens of billions of dollars. Mm. There's a lot of money to be made. I'm always wary. I always tell my patients, if someone will say to you, hey, this is something your doctor won't tell you, now buy my supplement. I always worry about that because there's not always evidence to back it up.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard of the phrase dirty supplements. Mm-hmm. So is that what you're talking about where it's you don't know what ingredients are actually in it?
Correct. Yeah. And unfortunately, most of them are not regulated by the FDA. And a lot of times we have no idea what's in them.
Right. And the company would hate that I called them dirty supplements, right?
Yeah, sure. Sorry. Yes. Yeah. But, there are some companies that will do third-party testing. So this is where I'll say where they'll do unbiased third parties, where they'll actually show that they can prove what's in their product is legitimate. So I always say try to use, companies that do those things. And, I'm not against supplements either. I'm pro-science. I think that it's really important that we're giving supplements that are extensively studied and are actually what they say they are. So, for example, I recommend, vitamin D supplementation, especially in us Ohioans. We don't get as much vitamin D in sunlight as we probably should in the wintertime. It helps reduce falls. It helps with bone health and all types of metabolic benefits there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So pivoting, though, you're the medical director of the Arnold Sports Festival. Mm-hmm. It's held annually here in Columbus. It's a massive multi-sports fitness festival. Mm-hmm. It's considered one of the most prestigious strength events in the world. Mm-hmm. It's known for its professional bodybuilding competitions. And
Absolutely.
So these people all care about the physique and the muscle mm-hmm. and the maintaining the muscle mass. Have you noticed a change in the physique of attendees and competitors at all in recent years?
Yeah, it's one of the coolest events to see. I mean, we have participants from all over the world that come here. The thing that I love about it is it truly promotes health and wellness. And that's, you know, some of the bodybuilders, we'll use some of those exogenous testosterone. I mean, it's pretty widely known that bodybuilders are using testosterone. And just even this past year, the top three finishers, I mean, you could see muscle groups that, you know, you would never dream of, especially as, you know, I'm, you know, barely 6 foot, 170 pounds. You know, I lift light weights every day, I joke. But it is pretty wild to see what the human body is capable of.
But are people at the Arnold, since you're the medical director, are they coming up to you and asking you about using peptides? Are they saying, like, can I win next year if I do this? Or
less so, we take care of more of the medical side. So if someone gets injured, we don't really get the peptide questions at the Arnold as much. I get more of the peptide questions in my day-to-day office from just everyday guys. Like, I tell people that all the time. You know, my friends have asked me about it. It came up at one of our family discussions. I get friends and family that ask me about it, as well as, just mostly young men that are looking to, you know, increase their muscle mass, be like some of the influencers that they're seeing on Instagram and TikTok.
So, but bottom line is you don't necessarily say that they're going to, that's going to help with that.
Correct. Yeah. Now the GLPs are totally different. Mm-hmm. So, especially if I have patients that, suffer from obesity, type 2 diabetes, those are medications we routinely prescribe in the office. So, tirzepatide is probably the one that we use most for weight loss. Mm-hmm. Semaglutide is the other one we use for type 2 diabetes. Those have been extensively studied and are FDA approved for a lot of different medical conditions now. Those are the ones where we say these are the ones that can help you if you have these pre-existing conditions. I can't emphasize this enough. It is so vital that you lift weights. You have to keep exercising, especially for if you're using it for the weight loss aspect. I tell people you got to hit the weights, you know, at least 5 days a week if you can.
Now, do you have concerns about the use of these supplements hurting athletes in the long run? You know, they're able in their 20s to maintain this muscle mass, but what about 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now?
Yeah. Well, and especially a lot of the supplements are cleared by our kidneys and our liver and can actually cause liver or kidney disease. So that's why I say to be very cautious about how this may affect other organ systems in your body. And it's a fair point. You know, it's really hard to maintain that muscle mass. If you look at a lot of pro NFL players that have, you know, then gone into broadcasting, you know, they drop a lot of weight very quickly just because of the amount of, you know, strain it puts on your heart, it puts on your lungs, your bones, especially your joints. And so that's where I think having a good discussion with your doctor. One thing I love to talk about is body composition. So, you know, if you have access to figuring out what your body fat percentage is, what's your lean muscle mass, those are some really good things you can work on with your doctor to make sure you're hitting the appropriate body mass composition more so than a body mass index.
I mean, is it possible for the professional bodybuilders that we see in the Arnold, can they build that body and that physique and they can win naturally?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Well, so we do have natural competitions. I actually have a couple of good friends that are in, natural bodybuilding contests and absolutely, and they maintain incredible physiques. One of my friends, he's actually a sports medicine doctor down in Texas. And he posts all the time about his training regimen, you know, what do his macros look like? We don't have to get too much into macros, but, you know, how does he get enough calories during the day? And then also making sure he's got a really good training regimen. If you look at the ones that are bodybuilding naturally, it's still pretty incredible to see the muscle mass they're able to put on that way.
What's like the spectrum where it's like a peptide and then testosterone and then there's like performance enhancing drugs and taking steroids? Mm-hmm. Like what's the spectrum there?
Yeah. So the performance enhancing drugs, those can be all different types of things. I think, you know, during, the cyclists that went through and they were doing a drug called EPO or erythropoietin, it's just kind of like a stimulator for red blood cells. So that's one that you can hear. There's another one called insulin like growth factor or IGF. And so they're all different. They work on different mechanisms, so to speak, whereas testosterone is mostly focused on, you know, kind of increasing muscle mass and tone. Whereas some of the peptides, the main theory behind the peptides, and again, these need to be more studied, is that they increase your vascularity, so it improves blood vessel growth. A term called VEGF, vascular endothelial growth factor. Mm. I'll try not to say that one too many times either. And then nitrous oxide. And those, the theory behind those is that it will improve your blood flow to help, you know, regenerate tendons and cartilage and ligaments. But again, there's been no scientific studies that have actually proven that.
Mm. Now, I'm thinking there's going to be more scientific studies. Mm-hmm. I mean, the director of Health and Human Services, RFK Jr., he right. is a proponent of peptides, and he talks about them, and you can find videos of him talking about them. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, you would think that more of them could become FDA approved. I mean, are there yes. being studies? Is this? I mean, it is possible that the FDA might approve something, right?
Right. I think the regulation is the key here. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that we're doing it the right way. You know, so I always tell what would be a really good study is, like I had said, that randomized controlled trial mm-hmm. where you look at one maybe very specific injury. I'll use the Achilles as an example. Mm-hmm. For men over 40, we get a lot of chronic tendon injuries, unfortunately. So if you had an Achilles injury, like tendinosis, we say a specific subgroup of patients between, like, let's say the ages of 40 to 49 with the exact same injury, and then doing that double-blinded study to get a really powerful number. You know, it would be in the several hundreds of participants. I think that would be a really good study. But also making sure, too, we want to make sure these peptides are safe before they're effective, too. So we're not giving, you know, somebody a peptide that could actually do harm. And as a physician, that's always our number one goal. Never do harm. You know, we never want to do harm. That's mm-hmm. first doing no harm is that's our, you know, that's the, you know, the oath that we took.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. I guess a lot of patients would say who have been patient and waited for these GLP-1s mm-hmm. and now they're approved and they're working. Mm-hmm. So maybe we just need to be patient and wait for
yes.
other things. Yeah.
Correct. And, you know, I think the studies will, you know, I always say the proof will be in the studies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, I was a biology major and a chemistry minor. At the purest of hearts, even as a doctor, I always say I'm a scientist first. Mm-hmm. So this is where, you know, science matters, the studies matter. And I really, you know, I think it's really important to make sure that the studies that you're reading are also peer-reviewed in a journal and not just something you Googled, mm-hmm. because peer-reviewed studies are going to be the best quality studies.
Oh, you mean Dr. AI doesn't
yes.
work?
Yeah, no, there's some really good, it's really cool. So we actually use one in our practice called mm-hmm. Open Evidence, and it will actually search for articles within, you know, well-published and well-approved journals. So I could say, you know, I have a 30-year-old man with a partial thickness rotator cuff tear. What would be some studies I could reference to look at this? And we can use AI in that way.
Okay. So, yeah. But yes, but like Dr. Google, you gotta be careful
correct.
About. But yeah, I was just yeah. saying, you know, AI seems more fancy than Dr. Google.
Yes,
so we're getting fancier.
We're getting better. Yes.
We're getting
yeah.
better.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have been speaking with Dr. Ben Bring, a board certified physician in family and sports medicine at Ohio Health. He's also the medical director for the Arnold Sports Festival. Thank you so much for your time
yeah.
today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And coming up, one man's personal battle with steroid abuse is the focus of a film made here in Ohio, and we're going to meet the star and screenwriter. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. One of the reasons behind the increased use of testosterone and peptides could be men chasing a new masculine ideal of a muscular physique. This is exemplified in part of the body transformations of Hollywood actors, bodybuilders, and online influencers. But it can come at a cost, which is the focus of a movie called Test. Here's a part of the movie trailer.
If you want to be a pro, you gotta lift like a pro.
Good, keep that control. Good.
I got a new coach. You know, he trains all the pros. made you really, really good.
It's not going to make you happy. You know that, right?
I think it will.
I'm telling you, a pro card ain't going to fix problems for you.
I guess I'd like to figure that out myself.
Now push. Drive it.
God doesn't want this for you.
Start tipping, guys. Come on.
We talked about this. Remember how bad things got for you.
My son, he needs an ambulance. Oh!
I am doing what I have to. What do you know about that?
The movie was written by and stars Ohio native Brock Urich, and it was filmed in his hometown. Welcome to All Sides, Brock.
Good morning. Thank you.
So congratulations on the film. I read that you have been working on this for nearly a decade to get it made. Was this a labor of love or did something else delay it? Tell me about getting this film actually made.
Yeah. So I wrote the first draft in 2016 and I had this script and I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the next steps are. I didn't have that many ties in the filmmaking world. So I just, I worked as hard as I could to make the script as good as possible. That's really all I could do at that moment. And then I, there was a competition called the Hometown Heroes Rally. And it was a fundraising campaign competition to see who could raise the most money and get the most followers for their film project. So I entered that and we came third place out of 70 films. And so that really took my project from black and white to Technicolor. Thousands of people saw what we were, what I was trying to do and saw the story and the themes in the story and were like, this is fantastic, Brock. This is, we've not seen this. You need to make this. So over the next many years, there was just a lot of different, like, you know, COVID happened and then the writer's strike happened. And it was just, it was a long, long time until Sam McConnell, the director of Test, once he and I met, we met in 2023. And the moment we met, I just knew he was the right guy. That's really when it all started to feel, it felt right. It all just fit.
Tell me about the decision to have the movie be filmed in your hometown here in Ohio. How did you come to know that you wanted it to be this Ohio-born movie?
I'm from Tuscarawas County, and it is the most beautiful place. I just love, there's so much texture and there's so much history. And I just knew that my first film project, I had to bring it back to my hometown. I have to, make my people proud. And so it was very important that I set it in Ohio. And I also knew that trying to raise money for my first film was going to be really tough. So I purposely kept the story very simple. You know, it's not a lot of like, there's no car chase scenes. There's no, it was not a very expensive movie. It was about, you know, these people just trying to do their best. And so I knew that if we filmed in my hometown that we could get a lot of things pretty cheap. But also the most important thing was to bring my community into this project, which was absolutely magical. You know, my parents would come to set and, you know, every few days and they would have lunch with us. And it was just like, I was like, this is the best time of my life.
Well, so, congratulations on getting the film made. And you are the star of the film. And you have the physique of a bodybuilder to be the star of that film. Because of the length of time it took to make the movie, like how hard was it to maintain that condition, that that bodybuilder body?
Sure. You know, what we did was to make it a little bit easier on me was we shot the final competition scene where I look the most defined first. So I was able to train and prepare up until the day we started shooting, because, you know, once you start shooting, it becomes very, very difficult. So we knew that we had to get the moments where I had to look the best, we had to do it first. Throughout the rest of the film, a lot of the film is me lifting weights. And so, you know, I was able to get my workouts in during takes.
Many takes, I'm sure. Like, oh, lift that again. That's easy, right?
Yeah.
When actors are asked about how they made their physical transformation. You know, there's been lots of instances of actors becoming very muscular for a particular role. They often credit eating chicken, broccoli, and rice, and then maybe they admit to having a personal trainer. I mean, is it truly just clean eating and working out that can get you that body?
This question, you know, if it is, if that's all they did, that is really, really impressive. I don't know. I don't want to say that I know that they're doing something else, but I think we all have an idea, you know, like to get a really like intense physical transformation like that, there are certain drugs that people use and we all know it. Mm-hmm. And it is a bit taboo to talk about. So yeah, that's really what TEST is about. It's we're talking about steroids. We're talking about how common it is. And it's a conversation that I think we all really, really need to have. And we are starting to have, like, it is showing up in the culture. We are talking about it. There are articles about this and, you know, the side effects and the health effects, but I think everybody sort of like you probably know many people who you don't realize are on, you know, using steroids.
Right.
It's just more common than we think.
Hmm. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the Ohio-made film Test. It's about one man's personal battle with steroid abuse. And we're talking with Brock Urich, who wrote and stars in the movie. Is it fair to say bodybuilding was in your blood since your father was a bodybuilder? Have you always been a part of the culture?
Definitely. Yes. My father, he competed for a few years when I was maybe like 10 or 11. So yeah, but he was always going to the gym. But then when I was about 10, he started competing. Mm. So, you know, he would go to the gym and I would sit and do my homework while he was training. And so I have these really beautiful memories of my family, my siblings and I cheering on my dad and, you know, celebrating afterwards. And so I've always I was very used to that world. Mm. And I guess I took for granted how other people really like had never ever been to something like that. And so I realized like how unique and special growing up like that was. And then my dad took me to the gym when I was about 15 years old. Mm-hmm. And taught me how to weightlift. And it was the first time that I really felt like we had something in common. So I really leaned into it and took it seriously and then started competing. Mm-hmm.
And your father makes an appearance in the film. Are there other family members in the movie too? Just little like guest spots? Extras.
Yeah. My dad is the MC at the final competition, and my mother is one of the ladies at the Mary Kay party.
In the film, the main character's mom has a Mary Kay party. Okay.
Yeah.
So the film follows one man's personal battle with steroid abuse and his sexuality. How much of this film, when you wrote it, is semi-biographical? Like, did you put a lot of yourself into it?
I did. It's not autobiographical. This is not my story. I like to think that maybe Eddie would be like me in an alternate universe. Mm-hmm. Eddie was a way of me is was a way for me to deal with certain traumas that I've had in my life. It was very therapeutic, you know, writing this story, this fictional story that was far enough apart from me that it was, you know, healthy. Mm-hmm. It wasn't super close. I'm not playing myself in my own story. That would, you know, that's a little too close to home. And I don't think that would be very healthy, but no, this is a fictional story. You know, my dad didn't leave when I was a child. My mom is not Joanne. But these are different characters that I came up with that I have had relationships with real people. Mm-hmm. So they are sort of a blending of different people in my life that I've sort of built into this character.
In the previous segment, we spoke with a doctor about the increasing obsession with testosterone. I mean, as a bodybuilder and a personal trainer, have you seen an increased interest in people wanting to take testosterone and peptides to meet a certain goal?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And is that why Is that why this film is called Test? Like, why did you decide? You could call it testosterone, I guess, but did you decide to call it Test because everyone's testing out these drugs and it's testosterone? Or, yeah.
Correct. Yeah. There's very layered, many different meanings to the title. Yes, of course. Test is what we, you know, shorthand for testosterone, you know, where you run 3 cc's of tests, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's being tested and, in many, many different ways. And yeah. And I think like a lot of the problems that come, you know, that these characters experience are because of testosterone. You know, these men have these issues and they're, so that's why I felt like that was the best title. Test just is like, it's short. You know, it's powerful and it means many different things.
And you said you grew up in Tuscarawas County, which is not the easiest county in Ohio to say, but I got it there. Yeah. So was it filmed in, is the town Dover? Is that right? Or?
Yeah. Dover. Okay. And then there's a sister city, New Philadelphia. And they're like
next football
door. Rivals.
Yeah. Okay. So you're in Ohio, not necessarily like next door to Columbus, but one of the biggest annual events here in Columbus is the Arnold Sports Festival.
Yes.
Do you think that this film is going to have a special appeal to the fitness community of Ohio just because of the subject matter and that Arnold Sports Festival connection we have?
That is a really good question. I'm not sure. I haven't really thought about that.
Oh, okay. You should. Are you going to bring the movie to the Arnold Sports Festival? Maybe.
Oh, I don't think they would. I don't know how they would feel about the movie.
Okay.
You know, I'm very interested to see when this movie does come out to the public. I'm very interested to see the reaction from the bodybuilding world, because I'm sure some people are going to feel, you know, maybe upset by it. Mm-hmm. And other people might see it and think like, this is exactly what it's like, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not sure of years of when you were active or when your dad was active. Was the Arnold Sports Festival around? Have you been to it?
Yeah. My dad took me when I was probably like 12 or 13 years old. And that was way before it became super packed.
Right.
We were able to walk around and see everything and meet everybody. But now I've went back as an adult and I was like, oh, this is pretty huge.
Yeah, it's pretty huge. Yeah. Well, we are speaking with actor, screenwriter, and Ohio native Brock Urich about his film Test, a classic American story on steroids, which follows a young bodybuilder living in small town Ohio. And coming up, we're going to talk about some of the other themes in the film besides bodybuilding, which includes religion and sexuality. That is when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News. You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. For years, body image issues were associated with women. However, an obsession with male body image has been turning the attention to men struggling with this problem. And they are placing their health at risk. To achieve this goal, they're turning to testosterone and peptides, but they may not need them. The movie Test follows one man's personal battle with substance abuse to achieve a perfect physique. And the movie was filmed here in Ohio, in the hometown of our guest this hour, Brock Urich, who stars in the movie, and he also wrote the screenplay. Thanks again for being here, Brock.
I'm so happy to be here.
So we're going to get back to the making of Test, but did it grow out of your short film you made? You made a short film called Tea County.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Tell me about Tea County.
Yeah. So Tea County was like my first experiment in filmmaking and, you know, writing a role for myself and trying to see what it was like to be on the other side of the camera. Instead of auditioning as an actor, I wanted to write a role for myself that, you know, that probably would not happen. It's, you know, trying to win the lottery, you know, it's waiting around for that perfect role is a long, long wait. So I was like, I have to do this myself. My one of my best friends, and he was like a mentor for me. His name was Sean Palmer, and I was a very young little new kid in New York City. I was 22 years old, and he gave me the best advice. He said, "You have to write your own stuff," and that really, really sat with me. So, Tea County was a story that I came up with. It was about a grandpa and a father and a son. It was three men living in a log cabin, and we shot in my parents' log cabin. My parents had this, they lived in this log cabin that I was like, I have to shoot a movie here. So we came, I built a little team, and we came to Ohio, and we shot this drama. It was, so I went to college for theater in Orlando, and my college professor, Mark Brotherton, I asked him to play my grandpa. So he flew in from Florida and played my grandpa, and then Sean Palmer, my mentor, my friend, played my young dad. He was so that was like, it was just a beautiful moment to have these men who really meant a lot to me in my short film. And so I took the story of Tea County, and then I changed the character into a bodybuilder. So that was the first draft. And then, and just over the years, just changing, 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 it became Test. And it was very, I mean, the first draft of the film is not even close to, what Test is now. It's a very, very different story, but it still has that same sort of essence, like being in Ohio, this young troubled guy named Eddie, and with the bodybuilding. So I just knew that like that's those were the key points I wanted to stay with, but there was many, many different things, like changing the father to a mother, and what themes I wanted to talk about, and that changed over the years. It was like there were things that as time went on, I was like, I kind of wanted to start talking about this and a little bit less of this. So yeah, Siobhan.
Your film addresses many themes. So there's the intersection of bodybuilding, masculinity, religion, substance abuse, and same-sex attraction. That is a lot of themes for one movie, and you weave it together really well. I was very impressed by this movie. But you, what do you want viewers to take away? What do you want viewers to walk away with from this film, with all those different themes in there?
This question is it always stumps me because I don't really know what I want the audience to take away. I've never really like had a concrete answer for that. But what I did what I imagined when I the feeling and the emotion that I felt was when I finished, when I was like,
I mean, I could, yeah, go ahead. I was going to say, yeah, I could answer it for you. I mean, I, as the viewer, I'm not going to give anything away, but I just wanted Eddie to be happy so badly.
well, of course, of course. Yeah, no, that's beautiful. I guess I was just thinking about what I wanted to do was I wanted to talk with people after the movie, and I wanted to see what they got, what they took away from it. It's been so fascinating to see people's reactions and hugging them, at film festivals and talking with them and crying. Some are crying, and so I just am so open to whatever people take away from it. I just wanted to stick with the story, and I wanted to make sure. I did want to make sure that I wanted people to realize and to understand that this is not a condemnation of steroids or testosterone or bodybuilding or religion. It's not. We're not saying this is good, this is bad. I wanted people to just witness an examination of this very, very specific time in our lives and in this country and in the culture, where a lot of these things, bodybuilding, the steroids, the church, like there's a lot of influencers out there that are, God first in their Instagram profile, and they're just bodybuilding and clearly like juicing. It's fascinating. It's all
It's
just fascinating.
and speaking of the religion part of your movie, Matthew Morrison plays the pastor in the movie, and our listeners will know him as Will Schuster on in the TV series Glee, right? Which is also happens to be set in Ohio, right? How did Matthew Morrison end up as a part of your movie?
Well, our producer Daryl, he was talking with Matt about another project that Daryl was working on at the same time while we were working on casting the role of the pastor. And so he messaged us and talked to the team, and he said, "Hey guys, I was just talking with Matthew Morrison about a project I'm doing, but then I thought like we're looking for the pastor, he might be great." And we were like, "Yeah."
Yeah.
And the great part was, the fun part was, I had done a showcase, an NBC showcase in 2016 with his wife Renee, and I met Matthew at this showcase. And so I became, friends with them, and we went to the gym together, and so I had this like very, casual, like very quick little relationship with, I had met Matt, and then that was years ago. And then so when Daryl said he was talking with Matthew Morrison, I said, "Bring up my name and see if he remembers me." He
Yeah.
might. I think he will. And so he did, and he came. He agreed to do it. He came to set for 2 days. And just like giving the, he was like, "Brock, oh my God, you did this." And I was like, "And you're in it." It was just a cool little reunion.
Wow. Well,
Yeah.
and then Tammy Blanchard plays your mom. She does a fabulous job, and she's been in a few, well-known roles as well.
She is a national treasure. Working with her was an absolute dream. She was so dropped in. And she understood the character so well that I didn't even have to act. People are I think somebody asked how was it trying to like keep up with her? And I was like, I just had to like just let her affect me and just be present with her. And I didn't have to do anything because she was so convincing as Joanne that I just had to like look her in the eyes and just take in what she was giving me. And it was so powerful.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about the movie Test, filmed here in Ohio, and one man's personal battle with steroid abuse. And our guest is Brock Urich, who wrote and stars in the movie. Let's talk about the LGBTQ themes a little bit in the film, because I mean that plays a role in the movie too, and that ties in with the religion component. I mean, did you have that part, the same-sex attraction, to be a part of the movie from the very beginning, or did you add that in as you were developing it?
That actually in the first draft was not there. I with T County, there was no sexual confusion. That really wasn't an issue. And so in the first draft of my of Test, Eddie was heterosexual and there was no questioning. But my friend read the script and he said, "You know, Brock, this is cool, but what's your story?" And I said, "Well, I was coming out at the same time I was starting to compete." And he goes, "That, stop, like just go there." And I was like, "That's really personal." And he says, "That's exactly the point. If it scares you, that means you're doing something right." And I was like, "I don't know. I'm really scared to write a story." And this was back in 20, against 2016. Times have changed, but I guess I didn't want, I was scared of putting my movie into a smaller subcategory. But then I started watching these really beautiful queer films that were not part of this category, that were just more universal. They were more about love and less about this. Like it was just brilliant the way they'd done these things. Like a movie like Moonlight was so influential, and I was like, "Oh, okay, I got to take a pass at this and maybe write Eddie to be a little bit closer to what I was dealing with." And that's just how it came about. And I was like, "Oh, this is really real. This is the story."
Yeah. And to put it in very red Ohio, rural Ohio, with the religion component too. I mean, did that just once you decided to do the sexual confusion part, did it just make sense to be like, okay, well, we already have the religion and the red state and everything that, yeah.
It was just all there. And also I wanted to explore the similarities between the religion of bodybuilding and the religion of Christianity and how, they go to church. He even says in the movie, he's like, "I went to the Holy Church of Rikers. I, took communion and I sacrificed my firstborn." So it is a religion to these guys.
Yeah. And as a screenwriter, your films are dealing with religion, LGBTQ issues, sports, masculinity. That's all in there. Were you cognizant that you wanted to stay away from the typical like character narrative trope of like the dumb bodybuilder that we see in a lot of other movies?
Absolutely. I really appreciate you bringing that up because that's really why I wanted to, that's one of the first reasons why I wanted to make Tess was because I had seen so many bodybuilding characters in the media just being just like just they just make fun of them. They're a punchline. And they make them out to be these big dumb guys and these big angry guys. And some of my best friends are bodybuilders and they're the smartest people, and they're the most dedicated people and the kindest people. They're the first ones to help somebody at the gym who's, might be struggling, So yeah, I really wanted to shine a light on how what people think this is really not what it is.
And since the film is semi-biographical, what was the hardest scene for you to get right? Don't give anything away, but what was the did you struggle with any scene in particular?
Did I struggle with any scene in particular? I think the bathtub scene, the final bathtub scene.
Okay. Well, we won't give anything away, but it is very
Yeah.
emotional.
Yeah.
And that is a very intense scene with your mom, with the mom character as well.
Yeah.
The movie debuted at the South by Southwest London Film Festival, and it's being screened at more festivals. What's audience reaction been like for you?
It's been absolutely incredible. It's been an absolute dream. People are responding so well, and so they're saying nothing but the beautiful things about the movie. And I'm so grateful that everyone is really picking up what we were putting down. Everyone is catching on to these things that I was like, I really hope that they see how much work and detail we put in. And they're like, no, we did. We saw all of it. So that has been so rewarding and so validating. And just the way that people have messaged me and, people I don't know that have just, take the time out of their day just to tell me how much they're like, I can't stop thinking about this film or, just the most beautiful messages. It's been an abs it was like it was worth the 9 to 10 years of pain.
Well, I'll add my name to that list of people. I couldn't stop thinking about it, and as I said, I just wanted Eddie to be happy.
Thank you.
But you're kind of passing the film around on the film circuit. Talk to me about promotion distribution. I guess someone listening right now is wants to watch the movie. So what do they need
Yeah.
to do?
Well, if you follow Test the Film on Instagram, you can also follow my own Instagram where I post about all the upcoming film festivals. Right now, we are only able to show at film festivals. And so, we'll be hitting many, many different cities. Our next film festival is at Outfest here in Los Angeles. And so that's July 24th. But if you follow our social media page, we will be posting all the places that you can see it in this year. But our goal is to get the movie bought by a company,
Yes, obviously.
by a
Yes, yeah.
distributor. We would
Yes.
we're yeah. And so I can't really get into all the specifics about that, but we will get out, test out to the world.
Okay, so right now you can see the trailer right on YouTube as
Yes.
like as trailers go. And then
Yeah.
do you have any plans on showing it in Ohio since it's from here?
Well, that's a good question. We have not heard back from any Ohio film festivals at the moment, but I'm sure there will be some. We just haven't, like film festivals, they just sometimes take a long time to get back to you or whatever. But I will, I when we are allowed, I'm not sure when we're allowed because of legalities, but to show the movie Test in my hometown in Dover at the Quaker Cinema is just going to be the coolest night ever.
Okay. So that's on, the to be determined, but on the list of things to do with it, right?
Yeah.
And tell us, in the minute we have left, is there anything listeners can do to help with promotion and distribution if they're very intrigued by the movie, especially with its Ohio base? And like, can they help you in any way?
I guess following the Instagram on Test the Film and just I guess like reposting, we're gonna post about the movie, and if people can share their Instagram stories, just tell people is word of mouth is truly the best. Like if somebody tells me about a great movie, I will probably go see it rather than, a billboard. So yeah, I just
Well, we here in Ohio love our Ohio people to succeed, so that's why, yeah.
thank you.
Yes. All
Thank
right.
you.
We have been speaking with Brock Urich about the film Test. And not only is he the star of the movie, but he also wrote the screenplay, and it was filmed here in Ohio in his hometown. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. This is wonderful.
Yeah. You've been listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. And if you missed any part of today's show, listen back at WOSU.org/All Sides. Subscribe to the All Sides podcast. Every episode is available in our mobile app. Be sure to follow the show on Facebook and on Instagram. Our handle is at All Sides WOSU. Thanks for listening. This has been All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.